Moncrief on News Talk.
Barbara and Declan, both of whom have lovely hair colours, are with us in the studio. Once again, to answer all your problems, how are you both today?
Very well. The sun is shining in Dublin. I loved when Dublin goes mental. I walked through Stephen's Green on the way here and you couldn't see the grass. There's so many people sitting and lying. Right. And, you know, everybody's decided summer's here. And there's that vibe, which is lovely.
Okay, that's nice.
I was giving it
a week or two, though. The sun needs to shine for a couple of days.
Yeah,
they're sitting down on kind of damp grass.
They are.
You know.
They are,
but that's what
I
love.
Pleurisy.
That's what I love about it. I love the optimism of that.
No, they're mad optimistic
Faking
in this country.
Faking it until you make it, you know.
I think it's great. Like shirts off in Stephen's Green.
I didn't see any bare skin now. No, I didn't.
And shorts, you can't use shorts as an indicator because there are lads who wear shorts
all the time,
all the year round these days now. They go to the gym and they want you to see their legs.
Their legs, are muscly legs.
Yeah, me lovely legs.
Ever since I turned 50, my wife has been badgering me about my grooming. Over the past year or two, there has been a pronounced increase in the amount of hair growing in both my ears and my nose. She says that this is unsightly and that I need to trim it, but I believe in aging naturally and gracefully. I don't ask her to go and get Botox to manage her wrinkles, so why should I start trimming my nose and ear hair? She even got me a present nose trimmer for my birthday, which, needless to say, was the worst birthday present I have ever gotten. I tried it once and hated the way it made my nose feel. It made the hairs in my nose sharp and it was uncomfortable. My father is very hairy in the ear and nose department, and my wife keeps referencing him as the end result that I'm heading towards. But the way I see it is this: if we love each other, then we need to accept that both of us are aging. We should love that aspect of ourselves. How can I get her to accept this?
I love this because I'm all about, like, I'm all about positive aging for women. Kicking back against
But not for men. No, well, no, you're just about to hear.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest here. You know, I'm all about kicking back against the baloney women here all day long, day in, day out, about lines and wrinkles.
Why
and
do you hate women so much?
Stop it. So this letter should resonate with me, but it made me confront the fact that I would not be a huge fan of hairy nostrils or hairy ears.
Yeah.
On owl fellas, myself. So I'm grateful to the writer for shining a light on the error of my ways and having a eureka moment. Because he's right. He's absolutely right. We do need to love ourselves as our bodies change. So what I'd say to this man, along with thank you, is stick to your guns and to your nose hair and your ear hair and don't change. If you're happy, that's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Wow.
No, we have to have, if it's equal for one, it has to be equal for the other.
Okay, yeah.
Say,
let me ask, if you saw an old, say an old, I'm sure it's never happened, but if, say, you saw a hair, you know, protruding from your chin, would you remove it?
Oh, I would. But this is the point. Oh, God, Sean, I spend hours doing that.
That's positive aging, but within limits.
No, as long as you're happy with yourself, I think that's the main thing.
Yeah.
And that's another great benefit of a day like today. You can actually see the bloody things, which a lot of the time in Ireland you can't see them, especially when you get to my age. If he's happy and he has told us that he's happy, that's all that matters. That's all that matters.
I don't agree with you there, Barbara, because I think that, like, if you just say the role for everybody is just to do whatever they're happy with, there's a time when what you're happy with is going to come up against with what somebody's not happy with.
But you don't have a right to tell somebody else what you're not happy with about them.
No, I know that, but I do think that there's certain aspects of, you know, social interaction where they're just bits where you need to be a little bit, you know. If I could be perfectly happy with never having a shower for the rest of my life, but whenever I walked into an office space, there would be other people that would have a problem with that because I'd be stinking.
Somebody's nose hair or ear hair doesn't affect anybody else other than visually.
Yeah. And affecting his wife.
But he is right in saying that if he was turning around and saying, I'm getting rid of my nose hair and my ear hair and I want you to go and get Botox to get rid of those wrinkles
That's a really bad, that's a false equivalent there.
Because
one of them is about actually doing invasive stuff. And the other one is, and that's kind of why I talked about showers, because I do see a distinction, because one of them is about invasive, kind of, you know, purely about your aesthetics. Whereas the other is about a certain level of, like,
but surely hair is just about aesthetics.
Upkeep. Yeah, but, you know, fine.
That's the difference between having nose hair and having a beard.
No, I agree. But then there's, like, so the whole...
It's true, yeah. Well, I suppose so, yeah. That's my way of looking at it.
Having said that, I hope my husband's not listening to this.
I'm trying to be genuine here, Barb, and I'm trying to say that, like, if I'm being genuine,
I think he's right, and I think it's his body. He does what he likes.
But that doesn't apply to your husband, and you're sitting beside him, looking at his nose hairs, going, "Could you ever get rid of those?" Because it's exactly the same problem.
Actually, in fairness to me, if I haven't got my glasses on, sure, I'm.
You're never looking
unaware.
At them anyway, are you?
I'm not looking that closely anymore anyway. Yeah, I'm on the phone. I'm on Instagram. Looking at hot young fellas.
I know. But I don't think that, it's like the thing about, the Botox comparison, I think, is a bit of an extreme comparison.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
I think there is a certain point where it's like the right to bodily autonomy, I agree with that concept, but there are always times when there's a kind of a clash up against other stuff.
But would he, for example,
find a way.
Using a more appropriate example, would he be within his rights to say to his wife in summer, "Mary, you need to shave your legs. Like, you look a bit of a show with all the hairy legs."
So that's getting closer to where I'm coming from, which is the fact that in individual people, and particularly with people who are in relationships with each other, there's a kind of a you're that kind of a person is a kind of a thing that's inherent in the relationship. You're that kind of person, that's what I'm attracted to. Whereas if you're not kind of living up to the deal, there's a certain kind of compromise that's required when you're in a relationship. If you're on your own and you're not, you know, you're just doing, doesn't care. Yeah, you can do whatever you like, you know, including, you know,
letting yourself go.
No, but I was saying it in that way to kind of sell the fact that I'm being kind of slightly hyperbolic there. But I mean, the reality of it is that you can be in a relationship where somebody beside you thinks you're letting yourself go because you're not living up to the fantasy of what they think they're kind of doing.
Well, I endorse him. I think he's right.
No, wait, I see what you're saying, but I do think
nose hair and your ear hair.
I don't think
nature is
when
there's a reason for it. Do you know, that's the other thing. I believe nature does things for
reasons.
I mean,
I think the nose hair particularly,
I'm not sure why I have hairs growing out of my chin. I'm not sure why that's an issue. Why nature
I don't know what ear hair is for. Especially
but you can
if it's
the
ears.
Same though.
Yeah, but if it's in there, that's fine. But if it's sticking out here, it's not fulfilling any function, really, when it's sticking out here. It's a warning, yes. It's a set of indicators. You've suddenly grown.
Turning right, turning left.
If he has the right to nose hair, she has the right to be completely turned off by it.
That lad
needs to cop on. His wife has asked him to do something which is considered as basic grooming. Somebody else says, if she is repulsed by it, surely it will have an impact on their marriage. That before he gets old, he will probably turn into Chewbacca. Says another texter. Barbara, get real. Letting nose and ear hair become unruly is letting yourself go.
Go where? Letting yourself go where? Please. Go.
I mean, it's fair to say if you've got like tufts of hair sticking out of your ears and your nose.
I've never seen somebody with huge tufts.
You're rocking a kind of a crazy old man look there.
But if that's what he wants to rock, that's fine.
Yeah.
If it is going to impact their physical relationship, because she's going to look at him and go,
no,
gross.
Yeah.
Then
okay.
Maybe
what
I think
it was fingernails. What it was fingernails. And you just go, well, it's natural for your fingernails to grow. They're serving a purpose. And that's why my nails are now 8-inch long things that are kind of curling at the ends and kind of gone a bit yellow. You'd be repulsed by that, Barbara.
Yeah.
And so the reason why we call it is because you're not doing it for yourself.
And the amount of socks you'd go through as well.
Yeah.
You'd never wear gloves again.
Have you ever tried to hoosh up your nylons with those?
Or pick out your nose hair.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Ronan says, what's wrong with Barbara? She's being fierce reasonable.
It's the sun, Ronan.
It's the sun.
It's sunny out. I'm happy out.
I'm a 70-year-old. I trim my nasal hair regularly as I think it looks disgusting. I even notice it on other men and I wonder why they don't groom themselves. It's probably because they don't care about their appearance anymore. I also hate hairy legs on women.
I think that the nose hair, I don't think it's in and of itself is disgusting. I think that what we're seeing is aging, and we're all slightly repulsed by aging, and I think that's really what's going on there, because it tends to be grey hairs that are poking out of people's ears and nostrils.
You wouldn't go, like, if only it wasn't for the massive hair sticking out of his ear, I would have thought you were 25, you know. There's plenty of other indications of aging.
Well,
it's gross. I'm sorry, but it's I think it's gross. I actually think that, and you know the way that, as you said about the light?
Yeah.
I hate that, because in the morning I'll have a look and I can't see it. And then hours later you're walking and the light is just right, and there's something
my God.
If somebody walk near, I decapitate them if they walk near to me. You know,
like a boar.
Do you know where's a great place to sort that out? Is in the car with the wing, you know, with the what do you call that? The reverse mirror thing.
Yeah.
Because the light in the car is coming at from all directions. And okay. On a sunny day, when you get in the car, check your mirror.
Do it in traffic.
Do it
in traffic. We would recommend you pull over to the hard shoulder.
Yeah, exactly.
Before you
but
do
always
that.
Have a tweezers in the car.
All barbers use the electric razor to get rid of that pesky nose ear hair without even asking. They all do it. That's true. They do. Yeah. And they do the eyebrows as well. Hairy noses and ears are filthy, dirty, lazy traits in a man. Most people I know would not go around with stacks of hair sticking out of their hooter or ear holes. Especially if there's anything hanging out of it. You might get bits of earwax sticking. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Will you tell your man, for God's sake, trim his ear and nose hair? It will take years off him. It's like washing a car, forgetting about the wheels.
Sorry, hello. It will not take. Yeah, I like that. I just say it won't take years off him? He'll still be the same age.
I know, he will, of course. Yeah. I've been dating my current girlfriend for about 5 months and things have been going great. No, they haven't. That's why you wrote into us. There is just one thing that really bugs me. She has a pet rabbit in her apartment, which she's absolutely besotted with.
Aww.
She presumes that everyone else, including yours truly, must love this creature too. I don't. In fact, it creeps me out. I know it's wrong of me to say this, but I just can't help it. The rabbit is a rescue pet and is missing an eye. So it's perpetually winking at you. Sometimes I catch it staring at me and a shiver runs down my spine. My girlfriend insists on sleeping with Brendan, I assume that's the name of the rabbit, in the bed. I can't get a wink of sleep with it anywhere near me. The more I protest or try to make some distance between me and the rabbit, the more it spurs her on to make us best friends. She thinks it's hilarious. I genuinely feel phobic towards this creature. How do I maintain the relationship while managing the Brendan problem?
The Brendan problem. Can't wait to hear what you've got to say about this. Well, you big animal lover, you. Go on.
Okay, well, I have to deal with the problem and with the kind of the scurrilous kind of allegations from Barbara there. Look, the first thing that jumped out at me in this letter is the rabbit, the one-eyed rabbit, which is not a sex toy. Apparently, I Googled it. It's not.
Well, if it's not, it should be.
I really know what I mean, because it's like, you know...
Do you think this is all a euphemism?
The only reason why it should be in the bedroom if it is. Because otherwise, no, he's right, she's wrong, it's weird. I don't care if she loves it. Now, I will say that the rabbit was there before you, and, you know, she has a close bond with the rabbit, and obviously, as Barbara's always talking, you know, animals are lovely and all that. That taking that for granted, that means that you're not going to win a get rid of, it's either me or the rabbit. I mean, that's a stupid one to try to do. But I do think you're totally within your rights to say, I'm not comfortable. I don't want the rabbit in the bed when I'm there. So in that instance, I think the rabbit clearly should not be in the bed if you're not comfortable. That's weird. What is the rabbit doing?
It's not weird.
In your bed.
Well, yeah. I mean, that may have been on the bed. I don't know if it should be under the blankets.
This one sounds like, because she's finding the whole thing very funny. The fact that she's laughing at him when he's saying his concerns is a red flag to me, because he's dismissing.
Do you know
like,
what's a red flag to me?
What?
The fact that he is supposedly, or what he says is phobic about a rabbit, a little one-eyed rabbit called Brendan.
Myxomatosis, bro.
Yeah. And he's phobic. That's nonsense.
Well, it's developing the phobia. That's where phobias come from. Traumatic experience, like a one-eyed bunny.
Looking at you in the bed.
The
bunny hasn't done anything other than looked at him. I mean,
that's
for
all
heaven's
he has to do.
Sake, I must say, I think he's very lucky.
Well, the bunny has to have a knife or something before he gets glass at his...
Yeah, where's the limit?
I think this guy is very lucky that he has a girlfriend who is clearly very compassionate and an animal lover, because I would always be highly suspicious of people who don't like animals. Not looking at anybody in particular. And I would say he's very lucky to have found this girl. I agree with you, Declan.
You can like animals and not want to have 40 of them in your bed with you.
Yeah,
and you can also be allergic or phobic, and there's loads of reasons
he's
why.
He's not allergic now. He would have told us that. He's not allergic. That's different.
Maybe he just spelled it
and
wrong.
The phobias.
But the bottom line is that he's expressed a concern and she's dismissing or thinking it's funny, which is the bit that I go, here. You know,
I can't see this relationship going anywhere.
No.
Because what you said, the one thing you did say that was absolutely right, is forcing it into it's either me or Brendan the Rabbit. Because Brendan the Rabbit is going to win.
Absolutely.
And, you know, after Brendan the Rabbit, there'll be somebody else and something else and another four-legged joke. So, you know, I think this relationship is doomed. Yeah. I think
she's already chosen the rabbit.
She's chosen the rabbit. Yeah. And I think...
She can have both the rabbit and a boyfriend.
She can't have them both in the bed
at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah, but she likes sleeping with the rabbit. The rabbit likes sleeping on her bed. Do you know? Well, then that's, you know, fine. Personally, wouldn't be totally into the rabbit sleeping on my bed. But I have a cat who sleeps on the end of my bed. And we have to make room for the cat to sleep on the end of the bed. And that's fine.
Now, does a cat, you know, for lack of a better way of putting it, do its business in the bed? Because
that would be ridiculous.
Because cats kind of go off and get... Rabbits don't have that same... Rabbits just...
Yeah.
That's why I wouldn't have a rabbit in the bed.
Yeah. Exactly. That's why your man doesn't want the rabbit in the bed. He doesn't want to be lying there with rabbit poo coming into his mouth.
It's her bed and it's her apartment and it's her Brendan the rabbit. So he should jump out. I think he needs to either decide he can live with this current animal and any future animals, or else he needs to walk, because I can't see this relationship going anywhere whatsoever. Now, having said that, my husband, when we got married, never had animals, wasn't particularly interested with animals, has lived with numerous cats and is quite happy and even loves the dog. So even though he doesn't admit it. So, you know, you can change, you know. I think if you've never had an animal in your life, you should give it a shot because it brings a lot of joy. But I have a feeling he's just...
Yeah.
He wants us to tell him that he's dead right and he should tell your woman to get rid, confine the rabbit to barracks, rabbit barracks. And I don't think that's fair.
Well, it's not going to work. She's going to dump him if he does it anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
One texter says, I work with a lad in New York. His wife let her three cats sleep in their bed. He'd come in wrecked every morning from getting no sleep because she wouldn't leave the cats outside the bedroom. Most nights he slept on the couch. I found it shocking. Suffice to say, they divorced a few years after that. Yeah. Pet should not be in your bed.
Pet should not be in your bed.
I personally wouldn't have a dog. I know a lot of people who sleep with the dog in the bed. I personally wouldn't have that because dogs are a bit, you know, they're different. But cats are very clean. I've no problem with a cat on the end of my bed. I don't want it up on my pillow or under the blankets, but on the end of the bed, that's absolutely, it's actually lovely. It's very comforting, very zen. And I like it.
So if you want to, if Brendan's looking for a new home, Barbara
has a bed. I've never had a bed. Well, it could go with me three-legged cat.
Yeah. And
is that a sex toy?
No. A menagerie of sex toys.
Listen, I'm just clarifying what we're talking about.
My husband of 20 years recently joined our local tennis club. It was actually myself who suggested he do it, as I felt he needed an outlet socially outside of work. However, I never imagined he would take to it in such a way. He's now at the club three nights a week and is going for dinners and drinks with his doubles foursome at the weekend. Woohoo. He has already signed up for the club's trip to walk the Camino in October. I'm completely torn on all this because I'm happy he's found a new thing, but at the same time, I miss him. And I wonder that we're not spending enough time together or that he doesn't want me to be with me. I did consider joining the club so I can keep an eye on him, but it's his show and I don't want to intrude on it. How can I manage this situation?
This is another case of, we had one recently as well, of being careful what you wish for, you know.
Yeah.
And she did something that she thought was a great idea, but turns out the law of unintended consequences was strong. You know, if I was her, I'd let him off for the moment. It sounds like he's having a good time and it's a healthy pursuit for him to have. And I think that's great. I also think they've been together, 20 years. So, you know, I think as we get older, it's really important if you've been married for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, whatever, to develop separate interests and do things, be ready to do things on your own, because one is going to end up on your own, chances are. So I think that's a very healthy thing to have. Separate interests when you get to a certain stage in life. Now, I mean, I understand that she misses him and because he's now gone a lot. But my advice to her would be to let it run for a while. He might be just full of enthusiasm of a newbie, you know, like somebody at a mad party, like trying everything and all the food and all. And he might dial it back in a year or two. So I wouldn't panic just yet. I'd leave him at it. I certainly wouldn't join the club. But what I would say to her is she needs to find something to occupy the time when she is supposedly missing her husband, not in the tennis club. Go and find something else to keep yourself occupied.
Yeah, three nights a week though.
Yeah,
well. and his doubles foursome. Or the weekend.
Or get a rabbit.
Okay, walking the Camino.
Yeah, it does sound it, doesn't it?
That's kind of full blown in there, isn't it?
I don't think he's going to.
Oh, God, are you suspecting? Because that thought did come into my head and I thought, no, there's no... Are you suspecting he's up to no good?
I don't know.
Right, you just have that look on your face. Yeah.
No one really goes to the Camino, do they? That's a euphemism, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I've never.
You're really playing a one-eyed rabbit. That's what you're doing.
What I would love to know is I would love to know the conversation that was had, the feeling that existed that caused the conversation that was had that led to him joining the tennis club. Because, again, as you mentioned, I feel like she got exactly what she was looking for. And then suddenly she's realised actually that there's a downside for her in the sense that either she misses him or she feels a little bit insecure about he's having a great old time altogether.
Yeah.
She needs to own those emotions. She needs to recognise that, as you point out, that it's actually healthy for a relationship to not be so codependent, where you do everything, where you know everything that they're up to. You have this kind of weird shadowy control over it. She's kind of raging because she felt she was kind of directing him off to do something. Then he went off and he made it his own and now he's having a great old time. Now, there may be an issue about how much time he's investing and, you know, as we say, like, you know, is he really going to the Camino at all? But that's an imbalance in the hobby rather than the hobby itself.
Yes.
I think that's a conversation. I think if I was her, I would say that I would point out, I would actually be open about the fact that I was missing him, because I think that would, that even that putting that idea out is quite healthy.
Yeah.
And I would also say that one part of it maybe is that you're away too much.
Oh, I'd be very careful of doing that just yet. Because I think that it might naturally happen that he will dial it a little bit back once he gets over the kind of novelty value of this new hobby. And again, you know, they've been married 20 years. He's probably in his 50s. And I think it's kind of, you know, a time that men very often develop a new hobby or, you know, something.
I don't think, sorry for talking to you there, but yeah, I don't think necessarily that he should accept what she's saying and then do that. I mean, I think that there's a lot of the time around stuff where you go, it's just about open lines of communication that you're saying, this is what you're feeling. Because then you go, well, you told me to go and get a hobby because I was always on the couch beside you. We're watching the same thing. And that's not healthy. So which is it?
Yeah.
You know,
Own
your desires. Because I think part of it really is that it's all about control rather than actual consequences. I think that she needs to be aware of her own.
Francis says many relationships have begun in our local tennis club and many relationships have ended in our local tennis club.
Holy God.
Another text says what happens on the Camino stays on the Camino.
I often wondered what the attraction of walking the Camino was. Now I know.
Okay, we'll slip in one last quick one. I think the answer to this one is fairly straightforward. I started therapy with a new counsellor about 6 months ago to help with my anxiety. He's a terrific practitioner. He's been very effective. However, I've recently started to have feelings for him. He knows everything about me and understands me in a way that no one else seems to. I honestly feel as if there is a genuine spark between us. I know he's unmarried because I found him on Instagram. I've also found him on Plenty of Fish, so I know he is keen to date. My concern is this. If I tell him how I feel, it could go tits up and he may even end up terminating our relationship, our therapeutic relationship. This worries me as he is a terrific counsellor. Or should I put some subtle feelers out there to see if he feels the same way about me? I can't stop thinking about him.
Okay, so this is a common thing that happens in therapy. You know, people get into this thing and there's a thing called transference where you kind of, you know, all the safe space that you feel with the person, particularly if they're the kind of the sex that you're attracted to and all that kind of stuff, it can get a bit weird.
I think the same happens with gynecologists, doesn't it?
I don't know. I don't have one.
I doubt it. Like, this is kind of what a gynecologist tends to do to a woman, I would have thought was more kind of as fun.
I don't know. I thought I read that
like
somewhere.
Metal instruments.
But I do
that's
think
that's not the gynecologist. That's usually just the practice nurse in the doctor's surgery,
right?
Doing
okay.
That stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Declan. I threw you off there. Beg your pardon. Carry on.
Okay.
This is
any sexy gynecologist out there, we'd like to hear from you.
Yeah.
Send a picture. This is a normal kind of thing, and I think the worst thing that you can do is what you're kind of already doing is blurring the boundaries between you and the person you're in therapy with. Googling them, I guess the curiosity is there, but that's kind of weird. You're kind of stalking them, because the reality of it is that it would be highly unprofessional, if not like actually get them disbarred from their professional credentials for having any kind of relationship with you. However, I do think it's the kind of thing that you can address with them, because, you know, because it's such a common part of the therapeutic journey that if they're as good as you think they are at being a therapist, they will talk you through that whole thing and explain to you what's going on. But it might be mortifying, but, you know, but a lot of therapy is mortifying.
But if you have the hots for somebody, like, I don't think he can turn that off.
I mean, no therapist is going to say, we'll talk about it and we'll move on. They'll say, we'll talk about it and you'll get yourself a new therapist.
Yeah,
no, but they don't always do that. They kind of like, because
I think the relationship, the therapeutic relationship is already over. Because if you've started to get the hots for somebody in a serious way and are, you know, kind of imagining you maybe kind of confessing how you feel to them with the hope that something can come of it, which...
Well, that's delusional.
Just said can't.
Yeah, won't, so, can't, and that's also... But it's also... What I'm trying to say is that it's not rooted in any reality, that is actually kind of sometimes part of the therapeutic journey. That
but even
kind of,
if he talks to her, I can't imagine...
What are they talking about? What is the nature of her? We don't know any of this stuff. Is her stuff about intimacy? Is her stuff about building relationships? Is that the kind of stuff that they're talking about? And, like... I kind of think it's a bit weird that it wasn't already raised, and if it is about that. So I'm wondering why she's in therapy.
But I mean, even if she raises it, like, I don't understand how talking, if you have the hots for somebody, if you seriously are attracted to somebody, how talking about it is going to make that go away. It's only going to make it more intense.
Yeah, no, but I wouldn't have thought so. Isn't it a therapist's job to a degree? Because you're providing a safe space and all that.
Yeah, to be able to.
And you're nurturing and you're caring. But, like, he's doing that with her, and then she goes off, and then he does it with the next person.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
his professional stance.
He's not monogamous in his care and attention, but he is also responsible for that space. And within that space, I personally think, and maybe I'm completely wrong, that she could say, you know, I'm starting to have these weird feelings,
but
and I think it's transference.
That's grand, I'll refer you on to somebody else.
I don't think eventually that's what they do.
Would you not?
That's a bit like, maybe that would be the outcome after the conversation that they both realise.
Okay, yeah.
But I think there's a bit that comes before that would help her explain.
But I think we need to be very clear with her. This isn't going to be a happy ever after scenario.
No. But I think that we need to be clear with her that what she's feeling isn't real.
But it might be real.
No, it's not real.
But if you have thoughts for somebody and you fancy somebody, it might be real.
But she's paying him.
I know she's misinterpreting. And she said he knows me better than anybody
else. I go to see this woman every Wednesday afternoon. I know she loves me.
She should go on the Camino.
Yeah, go on the Camino. You'll meet somebody there. Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much. You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.